Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, Verse 52, The Bhumi Gita.
Kṛte yadhyāyato viṣṇam
Kṛte yadhyāyato viṣṇam
Cetayam yacchato makai
Cetayam yacchato makai
Dvapare parchayayam
Dvapare parchayayam
Kadata darikirtana Cetayam yacchato makai
Cetayam yacchato makai
Dvapare parchayayam
Dvapare parchayayam
Kalata darikirtana
Kalata darikirtana
Kṛte yadhyāyato viṣṇam
Kṛte yadhyāyato viṣṇam
Cetayam yacchato makai
Cetayam yacchato makai
Dvapare parchayayam
Dvapare
Kṛte
in the Satya Yuga,
yat
which
jayata
from meditation
Viṣṇam
on Lord
Viṣṇu Tretayam
in
the Treta Yuga
yajata
from worshipping Makai,
by performing sacrifices.
Dvapare,
in the age of
Dvapara. Parichayayam, by worshipping the lotus feet of Krishna. Kalo,
in the age of
Kali. Tat, that same result can be achieved.
Hare Kirtana,
simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Translation. Whatever result is obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Report. A similar verse is found in Vishnu Purana and also in Padma Purana and Brihadnaradiya Purana. Dhyayam kṛte yajam yajñais cittayam dvaparekshayam yadapnoti tadapnoti kalau sankirti keshavam. Whatever is achieved by meditation in Satya Yuga, by performance of sacrifice in Treta Yuga, and by worship of Lord Krishna's lotus feet in Dvapara Yuga, is obtained in the age of Kali simply by glorifying the name of Lord Keshava. Śrīdeva Gosvāmī has further quoted from Brahmāparivarta Purāṇa concerning degraded condition of people in Kali Yuga. Atā kalau tapo yoga vidya yajñā tika kriya saṅgā bhavanti na kṛta kuśalaya pidehi. Thus in the age of Kali, the practices of austerity, yoga meditation, deity worship, sacrifice, and so on, along with their various subsidiary functions, are not properly carried out, even by the most expert embodied souls. Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī has also cited Chaturmāsī Mahātmya of Skanda Purāṇa concerning necessity of chanting Hare Krishna in this age. Atā caiva uttamam loke tapāśi hari kirtanam kalo yuge viśeṣena viṣṇu-pityāi samācharet. In this way, the most perfect penance to be executed in this world is the chanting of the name of Lord Śrī Hari, especially in the age of Kali. One can satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu by performing Sankirtan. In conclusion, massive propaganda should be made all over the world to induce people to chant Hare Krishna Mantra, by which human society can be rescued from the dangerous ocean of the age of Kali. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 12th canto, 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled the Bhumi Gita.
Mukham karati vachalam bhangam langhate vinyati pandamam vande shri guru tirtanam om gyanati brandasya gyananjana shalokah chakshur nicham yena tasmai shri guru vinyam.
So these sages in Naimisharanya 5,000 years ago were trying to perform a sacrifice.
And they were having some problems there. They were actually doing a fire sacrifice, and the only result from that fire sacrifice was their bodies were becoming black from the smoke. So it wasn't working out for them. They said, "Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we're actually pleased by hearing the nectar of the lotus feet of Govinda, which Siddha Goswami is distributing." So Srila Prabhupada explains that this fire, the sacrificial fire, was full of smoke and doubts because of so many flaws. And the first flaw is that there is a shortage of expert brahmanas in this Kali Yuga to chant the mantras and to do the sacrifice. And if they make one little mistake in pronunciation, the whole sacrifice is ruined. So this happened, you know, we hear in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Tvashta was trying to get a son to kill Indra. And he made one little mistake. So instead of getting a son to kill Indra, he got a son that will be killed by Indra. Just one mispronunciation in the mantra. And anything can happen. You can get a boy instead of a girl instead of a boy, if you're trying for children. So these yogis were very uncertain and doubtful of the result. So in Satya Yuga, the people had all good qualities. They were shanta, peaceful, nirvaira, non-envious, suvida, well-wishers of all living entities, and samaha, or fixed on the spiritual platform, self-satisfied, merciful, sober, and tolerant, and they were taking pleasure from within. And most all of them were interested in pure devotional service, or engaged, not just interested. They were engaged in pure devotional service. There was only one social order, and that was Hamsa. And they were automatically dedicated to devotional service from their very birth. And religion was complete with all its four legs of mercy, truth, austerity, and charity. And the mode of goodness was predominant. So what did these people do? What kind of devotional service? Their practice was meditation on the form of the Lord. Very austere meditation. They hardly slept, they hardly ate, internal and external sense control. And the Vedas at that time were manifested in the form of Om. And the Lord was perceived in the mind as the four-legged bull of religion. There was no sacrifice, no formal sacrifice at that time. And the sinless people just engaged in this meditation on the personal form of the Lord. Not only did they chant Om, they were chanting Narayana Paraveda, Narayana Paramaka, Narayana Paragati. They're also chanting this mantra. So you can understand that Satya Yuga has come when the mind, intelligence, and senses are fixed in the mode of goodness. That is Satya Yuga, the age of truth. So I met in Vrindavan one lady, yogi, who at the age of like 20 came to Vrindavan and just started living in the jungle, performing austerities. And she was following, she's still there now, she is following the Kapila Dev Sankhya Yoga system of austerity. Not only that, she was doing 24-hour fire sacrifice, she was doing all the yugas practically, deity worship and chanting the holy name. She was born in Mayapur. So she is also chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So I asked this lady, I said, well, and she said, chanting Hare Krishna is the highest. I said, well, if chanting Hare Krishna is the highest, then why do you do this Kapila Dev Sankhya Yoga? And, you know, they go to where Kapila Dev is in Ganga Sagar. They go there and make pilgrimage to worship Kapila Dev. So she said, well, because it helps me concentrate on my chanting. That's why you do this Kapila Dev Sankhya Yoga. And she has mystic powers. People go to her for getting cured from diseases and stuff like that. So it's very interesting that we still have people from that age or people who are practicing. So, but why can't we actually practice this process in Kali Yuga? Because in Satya Yuga, people used to live for 100,000 years. And that's how much time it takes to perfect. So Valmiki Muni, he attained perfection meditating for 60,000 years. It's like 60 years of our life, you know, 60 to 100. But now we promise that we have no guarantee that we will live for 60 years or even 60 hours. So if you want to try and practice this, it may take you 6,000 births.
to perfect this meditation. But still, people are trying. Srila Prabhupada talked about, he used to be with Dr. Mishra's Yoga Society. And I also had this experience that when they closed their eyes to meditate, Prabhupada said 50% fall asleep. And so when I was doing this, before I was a devotee, I was doing this meditation, and I was wondering, is that the goal? Are you supposed to fall asleep? Is that what you're supposed to do? I was seeing people snoring, and I was thinking, okay, maybe I'm supposed to sleep during this. Maybe that's, you know, a way to go to sleep. But so Prabhupada said, also, I have seen so many yogis snoring. So you don't have enough duration of life, and it's very difficult not to sleep. And also, there are so many concoctions, false meditators who concoct some imaginary form. You're supposed to be meditating on like a flame of a candle or so many things, a spot on the wall. And people don't know the object of meditation. So that's why this process is doomed to failure in this age. So, Dhyanavastita Tadgatena Manasa, it says in Bhagavatam, that the mind should always be fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Prabhupada said, yoga practice does not mean sleeping. So, yes, it's good that I came to Krishna consciousness instead of following that path. Even Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita, he said, I cannot do this process. And he was much more qualified than we were 5,000 years ago. He could have done it, but it was too much, too difficult for him, not possible. So chanting actually includes the whole yoga process, even the Hatha Yoga system. Srila Prabhupada talks about pranayama in Srimad Bhagavatam. Pranayama, chanting of the holy name and dancing in ecstasy are also considered pranayama. So all of you were just doing pranayama here in Kirtan. And pranayama also has another meaning. It means no ulterior motive. You don't have a motive for doing your service. The purpose is to strengthen the mind and the senses. So Prabhupada said, in this age, you simply chant the Hare Krishna mantra and you will get all the benefits of pranayama. And in one purport, he says, for every item in the yoga system, there's a parallel item in bhakti yoga, parallel activity. But the practice of bhakti yoga is easier for this age. So what is the parallel for each item? There's eightfold process, yam, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So yama niyama means some things are prohibited and some things are encouraged. So we have our four regulative principles that we don't do, and then the things that are encouraged are ninefold process of bhakti yoga, beginning with chanting Hare Krishna. And asana, chanting japa, Prabhupada says, sit properly. And also, in one purport of Bhagavatam, he says that if you chant, while you're chanting Hare Krishna, you should sit and keep your body straight, and this will help you in your chanting. And so, asana is there, pranayama is chanting, and pratyahara, we have to bring our mind back to hearing the sound of the mantra. That's pratyahara, bringing the mind within, bringing the senses within, and bringing the mind back. And dharana, just focusing on the Lord. We can do that in any service. Deity worship, we focus. Any service we do. Dhyana is to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord and the form of the Lord. And samadhi is when your mind is constantly meditating, even 24 hours, on the order of the spiritual master, the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord. So this was the process in Satya Yoga, but all of it, this process can be performed simply by chanting. And Treta Yuga, people are devoted to their duties, but they have ulterior motives. So there was a change here. And they want personal prestige. So when this comes about, then you should understand it's Treta Yuga. And this is the motive passion. And Treta Yuga motive passion is prominent. So the people had two good qualities in Treta Yuga. One was Tarmishta, they were thoroughly religious, and Brahma Vadina, they followed the Vedas. Expert followers of Vedic injunctions. So in this yuga, people are not automatically Krishna conscious, like Satya Yuga, but they're highly inclined to become Krishna conscious. So they strictly follow the Vedic injunctions. They're devoted to ritual sacrifices, severe austerities, not excessively violent or lusty, And their interest lies primarily in dharma, artha, and kama, not in moksha. And they achieve prosperity by following the Vedas. So there are four classes in Treta Yuga, but most people are brahmanas in Treta Yuga. And each leg of religion is gradually reduced to one-fourth by, I mean, there is some lying, violence, dissatisfaction, and quarrel. So we just had our Ram Noni, and Ravana was an example of somebody who had these qualities in the Treta Yuga, and he was certainly cutting down the legs of religion during Treta Yuga. And from the heart of the Lord, Treta Yuga, came the three Vedas and the three forms of the sacrificial fire. And the form of the Lord in Treta Yuga is reddish, four arms, golden hair, and a triple belt, representing initiation into each of the three Vedas. And his symbols are the ladle, the spoon, and other implements of sacrifice, not the conch shell and disc. And he has all the things that you need in sacrifice. So why don't we do this now? Of course, we do some sacrifice, but it's not our process. Prabhupada said you need lots of money. And he was giving a lecture. He said, suppose I tell you, now we need 100 tons of ghee for this sacrifice. Can you bring 100 tons? I can't even imagine. In India, you can't even get 1 kg. Well, now I guess you can. But So first thing is we don't have the money. And second, we can't chant the mantras, can't pronounce the mantras properly. So Prabhupada said that I've seen that many people in India, they do these sacrifices, and they're completely imperfect, spending hundreds and thousands of rupees. But we should take a lesson from Lord Chaitanya that this is not possible in this age. There's a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. No, it's Srimad Bhagavatam, actually. That he recommends Yagyasya Kirtana Prayaya Jantihi Samedasha. And we have an example of sacrifice, Bali Maharaj, long ago. And even that was a problem. There was some defect. His guru was not satisfied with his giving the dakshina to Vamanadeva. He was not happy with that. Shukracharya was not happy. So then when the Lord asked Shukracharya, okay, what's the defect here in this sacrifice? So then Shukracharya replied that actually, Nischidram anusankirtanam tava, my Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your Lordship makes everything perfect. So, when we had our Krishna Balaram installation in India, Krishna Balaram temple, then two things were going on simultaneously. There were these elaborate sacrifices going on. Because if we didn't do that, then the Vrijvasis would not accept that our temple was bona fide. And we had to bring brahmanas. There were brahmanas from South India, brahmanas from Braj. They were there doing that sacrifice. At the same time, Harinam Sankirtan was going on. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in a purport that this was the real installation, as the Harinam Sankirtan. And during that sacrifice, some of our devotees were also participating. And Prabhupada's godbrothers said, to Prabhupada, you know, they're not doing it properly. They're not doing the sacrifice. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, they're just practicing. Don't worry. It's okay. They're just practicing. So, and actually, Srila Prabhupada knew that the real installation was the Harinam. And anyone who went to Mayapur in 2004 for the Panchtapa installation, you have realized that the real installation was the Harinam there also. There were elaborate sacrifices going on. So many things were going on. But the Harinam was experienced by all the devotees. The chanting of the holy name was the real installation. So chanting also includes the sacrifice. It's the highest sacrifice. So who can do sacrifice? Actually, Lord Ram did fire sacrifice. After Mother Sita entered the earth, Ramchandra observed complete celibacy and performed an uninterrupted Agnihotra yajna for 13,000 years. So try to imitate that. 13,000 years fire sacrifice. And that's the problem with the sages of Naimisharanya. They were trying to do a 1,000 year sacrifice, but even that they couldn't do because it was Kali Yuga coming. So Lord Ramchandra, when he was here, there was no old age, no disease, no lamentation, no distress, no fear, no fatigue, even no death for those who didn't want it. And that was why it was there because he was the king of the world. So Srila Prabhupada said, we can have the same situation in this age of Kali, Kali Kali Namarupi Krishna Avatar. If we just invoke the avatar of the holy name, Lord Krishna, in this Kali Yuga, we can have Ram Raja of the kingdom of Ram. So that is Treta Yuga. In Dwarpa Yuga, we have some bad qualities coming: greed, dissatisfaction, false pride, hypocrisy, and envy. These became prominent in Dwapara Yuga, along with attraction for selfish activities. So this was dominated by the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, Dwapara Yuga. Only one good quality the people of Dwapara Yuga had, and that was they were jigyasava. They were strongly desiring to know the absolute truth. At least they were human beings. They wanted to know Atato Brahma Jigyasa. What is this? What is Brahman? What is the purpose of life? Otherwise, they're described as Martya, or very weak mortal beings. So this society of Dwapara Yuga was clearly inferior to that of Satya and Treta. So you can hardly imagine what is happening now in Kali Yuga. So those who have taken birth in this age have to strictly follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant Hare Krishna. Now, one thing about the people of Dwapara Yuga, they were very noble. You can see Kshatriyas who were trying to do the right thing. And they were also interested in glory and fame, just like Karna, he wanted fame. We know that even he sacrificed his own jewelry that was in his body just so he would be famous. And he is famous. In India, they make movies about Karna and how great he is. Some people follow Karna, actually. They think he's great. And so they do it for fame in the next life, the Kshatriyas. They keep their vows, they don't break their vows, and they give in charity. And so they devote themselves to the study of the Vedas, have great opulence, as we heard in this chapter, chapter 3. And they support large families and enjoy life with vigor. And of the four classes, the Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are the most numerous in Dwapara Yuga. And the practice is deity worship. When Krishna was here, they were worshipping Krishna because he was personally present. But otherwise, it is deity worship. And they used to chant, Namaste Vasudevaya Namasankarshanaya Cha Vajumnayani Nuthaya Tupyam Bhagavate Namah. So they're worshipping the four-armed form of the Lord. But now in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to do deity worship. We do deity worship, but Srila Prabhupada said the real standard is you will find in Jagannath Puri, 56 times a day you should offer prasad. You should offer bhoga to Krishna. 56 times a day. And if anybody comes for prasad, you should be there ready to feed 1,000. You say, okay, we are 1,000 people. Please give us prasad. And they say, yes, ready. Take prasad. So Prabhupada said, this is the standard of deity worship, that so many times offering. And so in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada said, deity worship is being neglected. We see this in India. The dogs come in the temple, and so many things are happening now. And this temples are not clean. Our temples are clean, but other temples are not so clean. So deity worship is being neglected, so chanting, Prabhupada said, is more powerful than deity worship. And Lord Chaitanya, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita Purport, Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya set an example that he did not establish any temples, actually. He just spread the chanting of the holy name. So Sankirtana Prayar, mainly by the process of Sankirtan, Shijiva Goswami explains that in order for other processes like deity worship and sacrifice to be successful, they must be accompanied by chanting of the holy name. So this is another point, that without the chanting, your deity worship won't be successful, your sacrifice won't be successful. When we have our sacrifice, fire sacrifice for initiation, there's the chanting is going on there as well. And so this is very important. So Srila Jiva Goswami also says one more thing. Although you should take care to do the deity worship nicely and follow all the principles, especially in worship of the deity, there's still a chance of discrepancies. So sometimes we make mistakes in the deity worship, sometimes we make mistakes in the sacrifice. But these are compensated by chanting the holy name. So this is the point. All these other things, even we do them sometimes in this Kali Yuga. But in order to make them perfect, then we have to have them along with chanting of the holy names. So now, Kali Yuga. So when there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth, sleepiness, violence, depression, lamentation, bewilderment, fear, and poverty, that age is Kali. And which mode is in the age of Kali? Ignorance, mode of ignorance. So because of the bad qualities of this age, human beings are short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful, and poverty-stricken. And it was very interesting, I was hearing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and he was talking about some of these qualities that we heard in the second chapter, the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And he said marriage will be by agreement. And we often think that just means, okay, you live together and you agree. And Prabhupada said, no, this is legal marriage. This is marriage by agreement. You just go and say, okay, I agree, you agree, in front of someone, and then finish. This is marriage by agreement. That's legal marriage. So therefore, a fire sacrifice is necessary for real marriage. And religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength and memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. So I noticed in traveling that all the young people today have the diseases that we had in our 40s and 50s. It's kind of like, it's just going younger and younger, all these diseases. We were actually pretty healthy in our youth. We didn't have so many. There was no wireless mobiles. That wasn't there. Satellite dishes, all these things were not there. And this really affects. I see the coconuts in Mayapur, the ones that have been affected by the wireless, they're all brown and they're diseased and like water's, you know, they're kind of getting rotten. And there's hard, you can hardly find a coconut that's not diseased. Now, you know, it's just all from this wireless mobiles. And it affects us too. So what if it does that to the coconuts, what does it do to us? Mm-hmm. So the young people are feeling very tired, they're feeling so many things. So this is due to the advancement of civilization. People are greedy, ill-behaved, merciless, and fight one another without good reason. And what class are the people in Kali Yuga? Almost all Shudras and barbarians. So, Shudras and less. This is Kali Yuga. So we heard in the last chapter that wealth will be considered the sign of a man's good birth, proper behavior, and fine qualities. If you have money, then that means you're in a high family. If you have money, then you're well behaved. If you have money, you have all good qualities. Previously, the Brahmana was the one who was the highest class. But now the richest is the highest. In America now, actually, there was a statistic that 55% of the wealth is in the hands of 5% of the people in America. And when Srila Prabhupada was here in 1969, he was staying in John Lennon's house. And John Lennon was, because he had so much money, that people were coming to him for interviews. What do you think about the world situation? And Prabhupada said, when Prabhupada was in their living room, there was a picture of John and Yoko completely naked. And he said, where is the culture? He said, he completely has no culture, but these people are coming to ask him questions just because he has money. He's famous, all the newspapers are coming, just because he has money. So this is Kali Yuga. And you won't get justice unless you have money. And beauty is having long hair. Lavanyam Keshataranam. So Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and he was telling how Lord Chaitanya has come to save us, but instead of Lord Chaitanya has come to save you, he had said, Lord Chaitanya has come to shave you. Because that's how the Bengalis pronounce S. And the devotees who were laughing, and Prabhupada didn't understand, he said, "Oh, you said shave. Oh, yes, he has come to save and shave you." So anyway, this is Kali Yuga. Fortunately, we have Lord Chaitanya. Atheism is prominent, but actually our devotees are doing nice preaching. I just saw on Facebook that one atheistic scientist who wrote books against God has now changed his opinion after hearing this theory of intelligent design, that there is someone in control. And how could all these genes manufacture so many things without an intelligence behind it? So in Kali Yuga, therefore, chanting. It's a very irreligious age, so it's surprising that in such an irreligious age that there is any worship of the Lord. So therefore, Kalavapi, even in Kali Yuga, there is some worship. And in this age, the Lord doesn't show himself. He's the covered incarnation, Lord Chaitanya. Prahlad Maharaj, he says, Itam nityak vishideva jasavatarai lokan vipavaya sihan sijagat patipan tarmam maha purushaparsi yuga nivitkas chanakala yadavavasci yuga dasa tvam. My Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, animal, great saintly demigod, fish, or tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demonian principles. According to the age, you protect principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so you are known as Tri Yuga. So it's difficult for common people in this age to recognize who is the incarnation in this age. In fact, there are so many pseudo-incarnations, and that's why Lord Chaitanya was not mentioned, because if he were mentioned, then we'd have so many Lord Chaitanyas everywhere on the streets, and who is the real Lord Chaitanya, we would not know. There is one, actually, now. There is one Lord Chaitanya manifest, and he says he's Krishna, coming as Lord Chaitanya, and there, in his ashram, you will see pictures of himself embracing Radharani. So it's pretty, you know, this old man with, anyway, disgusting. So it is going on, that there are these pseudo-incarnations, just like at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they're doing the same things. They're polluting the young women and everything. But people follow them. So in this Kali Yuga, everything is polluted, even the places, the objects. But just by chanting, we can remove all this contamination. So chanting is the best, because one thing in Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, it's about remembering Krishna at the time of death. There are so many verses. And if you look at the purports of Srila Prabhupada, you will see that 17, 18 times he mentions chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting means remembering. So if you want to remember, in Satyuga they could remember just by meditation. But in this age, remembering Krishna means to chant Hare Krishna. So, actually, Kali Yuga is the best, according to Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.36, because in this age, the Lord mercifully gives the highest perfection. Although it's an ocean of faults, you heard yesterday's verse, all the degraded qualities are counteracted simply by chanting. Now, an interesting comment by Sridhar Swami, that in the previous ages, like Satya Yuga, the living entities could not get the perfection available in Kali Yuga. Now, why is that? Jiva Goswami has explained that in former ages, human beings were perfectly qualified, easily performed austerities, difficult spiritual processes, meditating for thousands of years without eating or sleeping. So in any age, actually, if someone chants Hare Krishna, he gets all perfection. But the highly qualified inhabitants of Satyuga, they think, well, you know, how is it possible? Just moving your lips, you get all perfection? And so they didn't have faith in the chanting. They thought they had to go through this very difficult yoga process. Sitting postures, painstaking breath control. So in Satyuga, there is no sinful life, and people, they don't have the problems that we have now. That we see that there is so much anxiety in the world, and there is so much stress, mental disease, wars, famine, drought, insanity. People are very helpless in this Kali Yuga. So therefore, because they're helpless, they can chant very feelingly the holy name. In Satyuga, you feel very comfortable. You know, what's the problem? You know, no need to feel dependent, to feel helpless. But here, everyone can see the need. Even somebody who's not a devotee, they can see the need for a shelter in this age. And governments give you trouble. If you have money, they'll take it from you some way or other. They will try to figure out how to take it. So now, because we're so helpless, we can actually chant the holy name better even than in Satya Yuga. And there's a beautiful verse in 11th canto, 5th chapter, verse 38. So, the inhabitants of Satya Yuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this Kali Yuga. You know that? From the other ages, all the people, they want to take birth in Kali Yuga because there will be many devotees of the Lord here in this Kali Yuga. And that we are seeing. Srila Prabhupada came and he spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world. So in the 6th canto also there's another verse that says, compares chanting of the holy name to the other processes. And there they name 3 processes, karma, jnana, and yoga. So the path of karma kanda, that is also chaitya yoga, jnana yoga, and yoga, that's more like satya yoga. And it compares these 3 processes to 3 bitter medicines in Ayurveda. Kalmeg, neem, and one other one. There's 3 bitter medicines that are recommended for you if you get really sick. So this karma, this jnana, and yoga are compared to these 3 bitter medicines. But chanting of the holy name is compared to another beautiful medicine called Amrita Sanjeevani. So this is a medicine that can bring you back from the dead. Srila Prabhupada was taking this at the end of his life, I believe. Amrita Sanjeevani. So this Harinam, the Sankirtan, is the actual nectar. And again, bring you back to life from the dead. There is an example of one congregation of devotee in Moscow. And this devotee, he wasn't a devotee. He was just like a congregational coming every Sunday. He was chanting Hare Krishna, he was chanting Om, he was chanting so many things. He was going to many different places and chanting whatever they told him to chant. And so then they noticed he stopped coming, and then the temple president got a phone call from the hospital in Moscow. We got one of your people here, please come. So they went and there he was, and he had just a few seconds ago left his body, all the lines were straight on the monitor. So they started chanting kirtan, and as soon as they started chanting, the lines started going up. And they said, oh, well, let's chant more vigorously. So then the heart started going also. And then the guy sat up in bed, and he said, now I understand why chanting Hare Krishna is the best. And he fell back down and he died. So this is the power of the holy name. That it can revive the dead. Of course, it doesn't actually literally mean that, but it means our dead intelligence, our dead consciousness can revive our soul, because the soul is actually covered in this. I mean, in all the ages, the soul is covered, but especially in this age of Kali, people are concentrating on the body, and they think this is me. I am this body. But actually, it's not you. So we have to go on chanting with faith. All our desires will be fulfilled. And not to try to have so much faith in the other processes, although they are valid for other yugas. But this is Kali Yuga. So therefore the chanting is essential and the most important. So we'll stop here. Do you have any questions or comments on this? Yes.
When we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, many cantos, they talk about great personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They were all looks scenes from their life story that they are all great devotees. But when they left their bodies, then Srila Prabhupada gives for many personalities a description that they sat in a lotus position.
Right.
And they, you know,
that was the process.
Inside, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, why could they not have just chanted at that time?
And so the question is, why did they all practice this process of? Well, the answer is here. It was the Yuga Dharma of their age. They were in Satya Yuga. But Yuga Maharaj, although he was practicing yoga, when the Vishnu Dutas came, He got confused and he didn't know what to do, so he chanted Hare Krishna. So that was also there. He was aware of the Hare Krishna mantra, although he was living in Satya Yuga and he was practicing that yoga. Even was it Yudhisthira, they were doing that yoga, but Yudhisthira, in that time, he took a vanaprast. So vanaprast means you just keep walking north until your body drops. So they were walking to the Himalayas, and then one by one their body dropped. Pandavas and Draupadi. So that was, they were just, everybody was following their age, what they were doing in their age. And they were doing that yoga. And that's there in Bhagavad Gita too, eighth chapter. That you should, that yoga system is there, but also in the seventh verse that you should do your work at the same time. Think of me. So then Prabhupada is very careful to say what it means to think of Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Although even in Gita, Krishna says chant Om. Yogis chant Om. But then Prabhupada clarifies, so you don't chant Om, you chant Hare Krishna. The 17 purports. He puts the full mantra, sometimes twice in a purport. So that people don't get to, so they know this is what you're supposed to do. Yes, as I said, they thought in Satya Yuga one point was that they didn't think this was... But actually, Dhruva Maharaj, he was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or Narayana, one of those. He was chanting the holy name of Narayana, or Vasudeva. He was chanting along with his austerities. He was chanting, but not Hare Krishna. It wasn't... For that age, it was Om Namo Bhagavate, or... Narayana Paraveda, Narayana Paragati. They had their mantras also, besides Om, but Om was for the, they thought that was the essential mantra. Yes, Prabhu?
What does it mean? I don't know if it's a Vedic statement or verse, or it just comes from somewhere where it says a thousand names.
Yeah.
One name of Ram equals, three names of Ram equals a thousand names of Vishnu.
Yeah.
Where does that come from, and how would one understand
it? I believe it comes from Mahabharat, but I'm not really sure. It's either Puranas or Mahabharat, one of those. And how to understand it? It's that how powerful is the name of Krishna? That Krishna includes everything, all the incarnations. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamayana Tishtan. So Krishna is the avatari. He's the source of all incarnations. So therefore, not only his form is the source of all incarnations, and so if you see his form, then you will get all of the incarnation. And also his name is the source of all incarnations. So the incarnations, except for Lord Chaitanya, they don't have the 100% of the qualities of Krishna. So Ram, obviously he didn't have 100%, although he is the Sadbuj, part of the Sadbuj form. Still, he could not have more than one wife. He did not manifest. It's not he could not. It's just that Krishna, when he comes as Ram, he has a different mood and a different mentality, and he doesn't manifest his full 100% of his opulences, the four opulences, playing the flute, Leela Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, and one more. Madhurya. So then, yes, we can understand that in the other incarnations. He doesn't, as Vishnu, it's 94%, Ram, it's more, and Nishinga. So 94% of the qualities are there in the others, so therefore the potency is 94% of the name. Yes. But also, Srila Prabhupada explained that the name Rama can mean Balaram, it can mean Lord Ramchandra, and it can mean Parashuram, three different names. Yeah, I don't remember exactly where it's from. If you look into the Kirtan, the Japa, the Harinam book by Sachinandan Swami, probably you'll find a reference for that. Because he has all the quotes there. He and Mahanidhi Swami, probably. Any other questions? Yes?
Narayana Mahadev, How do we define Krishna consciousness to youngsters, people who we are preaching?
To people who you are preaching, how do we define Krishna consciousness? To people, to new people. To new people, Srila Prabhupada was very general. He would just explain that now we are suffering because we are disconnected from Krishna, and yoga is very popular, so now we want to connect everything with the spiritual. In the material world, we are separating ourselves, we're concentrating on the material body. But the real path to understand yourself is to cultivate knowledge of the soul. And this is not being taught in any of the schools. So when you actually live on the level of soul, then you connect yourself with the spiritual. And when you connect yourself with spiritual, Krishna, then you become free from the problems, the mental problems and the physical problems, even if you actually connect. So this, we connect everything. Other processes. Most people think spiritual life means you have to give up everything. But no, we connect everything. This is Yukta Vairagya. Instead of, Vairagya is there, renunciation is there, but it's to connect your senses. So we enjoy our the smelling the flowers, the incense. We enjoy eating prasadam. That way it's not dry. We enjoy dancing and chanting and kirtan. Let me explain that they just knowledge of the soul and connecting with the spiritual. And it uplifts you.
Is devotional service synonymous?
Yes.
Devotional service and Krishna, same thing?
Yes, because who is the service for? Krishna. So if you devotional service means you have to be conscious of Krishna. You have to be conscious. Yeah. And yes.
Like you were leading in Kaliyuga, the age is predominated by sloth and sin and laziness.
Right.
So we see that is a problem which many of us face, like
devotees.
And yesterday in your class you were mentioning how in your younger days also as a devotee you used to hardly sleep for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So how do we cultivate the determination to sleep less?
Yeah, it's not that we cultivated the determination, we were just forced, you know. We had no choice. That's the way it was. The question is, how do we cultivate determination to sleep less? Well, what you eat at night determines what time you get up in the morning, and what time you go to sleep also determines what time you get up in the morning. So that's a big factor. So getting up early in the morning, you get a lot more done. So that's the way to sleep less, is to get up earlier. And in order to do that, then regulation. You have to be regulated, and then your evening especially, you don't eat grains after a certain time, like 5 o'clock or so, 6 o'clock, and then you don't eat too much, and then you prepare yourself before you go to sleep. That I would like to get up early. But it's as the Gita says, 6th chapter, regulating eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. And you had a question also?
How do we explain that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the human incarnation? Because it's not mentioned in the scriptures, like it's not mentioned.
Right.
It's the same incarnation. But a lot of new people then ask, and maybe after 300 years, then Prabhupada will also be considered God, because Lord Chaitanya in the books is mentioned as someone who just started the Bhakti movement. And in the scriptures also it's not mentioned that he is God. Then how do you...
Well, about Prabhupada, it is mentioned in one of the Puranas that a great devotee will come. And it is mentioned, who is it? Predicted. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted. And Nityananda predicted that the Prabhupada's coming of a great Senapati Bhakta will come. Means a devotee who is a great general, not God. Lord Chaitanya, it is there, but it's covered. Just like Prahlad Maharaj says, and in the 11th canto, Lord Chaitanya is described. He is described. and his symptoms. It's there in Mahabharat, is one of the thousand names, Suvarna Varna He Mango, Varangas Chandrangadi, that he's coming with ornaments of sandalwood and he will take sannyas. It's there, but it's not, you have to be an expert sage to find it. So Prabhupada has found that. And if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole beginning of it proves that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. There's so many verses, and they take verses not just from Bhagavatam, they take from the Vedas to prove that Lord Chaitanya and Krishna are the same. So that if you want to find that, then just read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe the third chapter, second chapter, first, around those beginning chapters. That will prove. Yeah, any other? Oh, it's time to stop now, I think. Do we have one more question? Yes? Mode of passion, yes. Yes. No, not in the sacrifice. In their lives, there was mode of passion. That they were kings, a lot of kings, and they wanted to rule the world, conquer the world. But they were always performing sacrifice, and that kept them, you know, pure. King Pichinabarhi, he was doing, I think, one of them, when there was another one, he would do one sacrifice at one place, and then he would just go to the next place, he would, you know, like they do Dandavat Parikrama. So he was doing Dandavat sacrifice. I mean, finish one and then mark the land where you stop that one and go to the next. And he was doing it all over the world, one of these kings. So, and that way they were purifying. And it kept them really busy, because passion means for the sacrifice you have to get so much wealth. You have to get the money, you have to get the ingredients, so many ingredients. And so that's also sacrifice. Like, what do we need for chanting? Just your tongue? For sacrifice you need, as Prabhupada said, 100 tons of ghee. And, you know, the Pandavas, they had to get gold. They had to go to a mountain of gold and bring for their registry sacrifice. You have to go all over the world and conquer all the other kings. That's very passionate. You know, for the Rajasuya sacrifice, you have to go. And everybody, either they surrender or you fight with them. So Parikshit, he had to do that also. He was going all over the world, and he came across Kali, who was defiant, so he had to conquer Kali. Yeah. Yes? Last question, because then it's prasadam time. Okay, is devotion born in the heart of the living entity, or can it be developed? It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that how it comes, actually. It's already there, but it needs to be developed, and you need some mercy from outside. So there are some verses in Adi Lila, around 100, Adi Lila chapter 1. Around verse 100, the end of like 97, 9800, 102, some really beautiful verses that explains how bhakti comes in the heart. The first thing is that you worship Gaur Nithai. And how to worship Gaur Nithai? Chant Hare Krishna. So if you worship Gaur Nithai, then they appear in your heart and they destroy, they become like the sun and they reveal everything. So this, it's described that this, Krishna's Kaviraj says, this material sun, it can reveal pots and plates and things like that. But Gaur Nithai, they reveal what is in the core of your heart. So we worship Gaur Nithai, They come like the sun in your heart. Then the next thing that happens after Gauri Taikam is they show you two Bhagavatas, two kinds of Bhagavata, the pure devotee and the book Bhagavata. They reveal to you in your heart. So then you have to serve the two Bhagavatas, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, the devotee Bhagavat and the book Bhagavat you serve. So then you have to do something. They reveal the devotee and the book. You serve the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. And then when you serve the two Bhagavatas, then Krishna becomes very pleased, and then he gives you bhakti in your heart. And then it comes. It's there, but it's covered. It's there. But we need the process of serving Bhagavatas, Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotee Bhagavat. You need the mercy of Gauri Time, and then it can be awakened. So you can study those verses and see what the process is. It's a very nice process. Bhakti is there, but it must be also awakened. Okay, so we will stop now and have our prasadam. Hare Krishna. Thank you.